Amen. Well, nobody believes it. We serve a great God, don't we?
Amen.
All right. You know, I like in the song where it says in victory in Jesus, it says, I repented of my sins and then I won the victory. You know what that means? The day we got born again, we got victory.
Amen.
We don't have to wake up every day and fight for it. But Jesus already won it for us. I'm thankful today. Some of you walked in here and you look like you're defeated. And that's what life will do to you. Can I tell you, Jesus gives us the victory this morning, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have one more opportunity to come in the house of the Lord. And I know we take it for granted all the time. There's people here that were sick the last 2 weeks, and the last 2 weeks you took for granted being at God's house. And we take it for granted coming in here. But I'm thankful that God's given us the ability just one more time to be in here, Brother Johnny. He's given us breath to be here, so we're going to do everything that we can to praise Him and worship Him this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 24. 1 Samuel chapter number 24. I hope that the last few weeks, I believe it was all of August, and then last week was our last sermon series on who is Jesus. And I hope you figured out who Jesus was the past 5 weeks. But today we're going to look a little bit about David. Now David's one of my favorite people in all the Bible to study about because you and I can relate to him a lot. David had a lot of problems in his life. And you and I have a lot of problems in our life. So we can relate to him pretty good. So if you're in 1 Samuel chapter number 24, that's where we'll be today. But starting out just to show you where David's at and how we came to this point in the Bible so we'll be able to understand what's going on a little bit better for the message. You know, in the beginning chapters of 1 Samuel that Israel wants a king and they anoint Saul as the first king to ever be in Israel. Well, as you've read the story, Saul gets a little bit prideful, a little bit jealous, and a little bit too much on himself, and God has to take him down a notch. And in chapter number 15, Saul disobeys God, and the kingdom gets split away from Saul, and Samuel tells Saul that the kingdom is going to be given to somebody else. We all know the story that comes up in chapter 16 and 17. David gets anointed the next king of Israel, and then in chapter 17, the big dude named Goliath shows up. And David has to throw a stone at him and kill him. Well, a little bit after that, you'll come to chapter number 18, you'll find that Israel comes back home, and the whole town's there to congratulate Israel for defeating the Philistines. And they're all crying out and they're saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his what? 10,000. And Saul says, hold on, I'm the king. They're giving him 10,000 and only me thousands. Saul starts to get a little bit jealous. And the Bible says from that day forward, Saul began to eye David. And everything David did, Saul kept his eyes on him. At the end of that chapter, Saul actually throws a javelin at David to try to kill him. But David escapes from it. Then in chapter 20, Jonathan, which is Saul's son, one of David's best friends, comes to David and says, hey, listen, my dad's out to kill you, and if he finds you, he's going to kill you. So in chapter number 21, David becomes a fugitive. As he runs in the wilderness, he goes through the wilderness, and for the next 12 to 13 years, David's in the wilderness, running every single day from Saul. And if Saul finds him, David's dead. In chapter number 23, Saul and his army get really close to David. They circle him around. They're in the wilderness of Maon there. And they circle him around, and Saul's about that close, but God delivers David. And that's where we come in chapter number 24 in the book of 1 Samuel. David comes to the place called En-Gedi. In verse 1 in chapter number 24, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet or attend to his needs. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord has said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. So as we come here, we'll find that David and his men are in a cave here in the town called En-Gedi, which has got plenty of caves in it over in Israel, which is a great oasis for the place. You can go to high ground. And if you're on high ground, that means you can see everything. So David's in the place that he needs to be. And it just so happens, while David and his men are in this cave, Saul comes in. And we find that the men of David look at him and say, hey, this is it, go kill him. And David goes and cuts off his robe a little bit, and then he comes back and says, I'm not going to do it. And Saul walks out, and we come to verse 8. David arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeks thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe, and I killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. And then look at verse 16. It came to pass, when David made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. In verse 19 he says, for if a man find his enemy, will he let him go away? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, God. And I just pray that just for the next few minutes, God, as we try to study it and what it has to say to us, Lord, I pray that you'll be able to open up our hearts and just be able to receive whatever you'd have to say to us. And Lord, I pray that during this service today, Lord, that the people would not listen to the words that I would speak, but I pray the people would ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart. And I pray, God, that as we walk out of this place, that we'll walk out getting a word from you, something that we can apply to our life, something that we can walk in, God, and become more like Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done for us. And be with us in the remainder of the service, that you'll get all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible states that David is a man after God's own heart. And that's a title that every single one of us should aspire to have. Men and women after God's own heart. And as I study the life of David, I see that a man after God's own heart, he's not perfect. He's not sinless. He's just like everybody else. The reason that David is a man after God's own heart is because he was constantly seeking out God and what he should do in his life. And one of my favorite passages in the life of David is here in chapter number 24. And this is one of the reasons why I believe that David is a man after God's own heart, and why God gave him this high honor of praise in your Bible. Because when life's most subtle temptation came to David, he didn't give in to it. You say, what's life's most subtle temptation? Here it is. When somebody does you wrong, and you've got the opportunity to do wrong back, or you don't do it. When somebody does you wrong, and you've got the opportunity to do wrong back, or you don't do it. You see, it's not just been a few weeks that David has been running from Saul. We read it in chapter 21, then we come to chapter 24, we just think it's been like 3 days. That's just how we read the Bible continuously. But more than likely, it's been 3 to 4 years that David is in the wilderness. He's sleeping on the ground. He has no pillow. He has no blanket. He's got 600 other men with him, and he doesn't have a bed to sleep in. And he's out running for his life from Saul. And if Saul finds him, he knows he's dead. So every morning, he has to wake up and get going. Every night, he has to be aware that he better be sleeping in the right place or Saul's don't find him. See, we're talking about at least 3 to 4 years when we come to chapter number 24 that David has been running away from Saul, and Saul has completely ruined David's life up to this point. And you can read all throughout the book of Psalms. Most of David's Psalms were written during his 13 years in the wilderness. And Saul is doing evil to David for absolutely no reason. David did not do one thing to Saul to deserve Saul trying to kill him. And David knows that if he just sleeps one night, if he just sleeps in one morning, more than likely Saul's going to find him. And he's going to be dead by the next day. So he's constantly on the run. But then look what happens in chapter number 24. The day comes when David's problems can all be over. They can all be over. David catches Saul in this cave, and it just so happens that Saul comes in the very same cave that David and his 600 other men were. And guess what? All David had to do was walk up to him and do exactly what his men said, kill him, nobody would know it, and David could have went and sat on the throne of Israel. And that would have been the end of the story. But we see here why I believe David is a man after God's own heart. Because David was faced with this question. Saul has done wrong to me, so can I do wrong to him? Saul has done me evil, so can I do evil back to him? And we see when this subtle temptation came to David that he didn't give in. But Saul tells you exactly what David did, and I read it in verse number 17. Saul looked at him and said, I've been doing you evil, and look at you. You've repaid me good. He said, that don't make sense. So when life's most subtle temptation comes to you and someone does you wrong, what's your reaction going to be to it? Because listen, I'm almost 25 years old. I'm almost one of the youngest people in here. And I've been done wrong many times. So I know, y'all know what it's like to be done wrong. Amen. So you can't control when people do you wrong. You can't. And that's one thing that's going to help us a lot. It's not worrying about what other people do to us, because we ain't going to be able to control it no way. And sometimes we worry about things that we can't control. And what you can't control is somebody doing you wrong, because they're going to do it anyway. What you can control is how you react to it. So when somebody does you wrong, they talk about you, they do something to you, what's your reaction going to be? You got two choices. Get payback or do good to them. Get payback or do good to them. That was the question that David was faced with right here, just like that. And he had barely enough time to think about it. And David returned good for evil. I'm not going to keep you long today. But what I want you to see today is that when life's most subtle temptation comes, I want you to look at what man's going to tell you to do. I want you to look at what man is going to tell you to do. Now listen, I love the Bible because it's so real. And verse number 3 tells us how real it is. Sometimes I think the Bible's funny. I know some people don't. But I can read some parts and I laugh from it. And this is one of those parts. Because in verse number 3, we see that David and his men are here in the wilderness. Or they're here in this cave in En-Gedi. And they're in the sides of the cave hiding out. They might have just got done taking a nap. And all of a sudden, Saul comes in verse number 3. My King James Bible says he went in to cover his feet. Your New King James says that he came in to attend to his needs. Now, En-Gedi is a place where a bunch of water is. So Saul probably drank a bunch of water. So guess what he has to do? When it says he went in to attend to his needs, Saul went into the cave to use the bathroom. And that's why I love the Bible. Because it's real. Everybody else would just leave out that part. Saul's in here in this cave using the bathroom, and David and his men are in the sides of the cave and saying, look at this. This is our sleeping place, and he's coming to do this. And they look at him, and they're like, oh my goodness, that's Saul. You want to talk about vulnerable? They caught him at his most vulnerable point. And here we come to verse number 4, and the men of David are standing beside him. And the Bible says they look at him and says, hey David, this is the day that you've been waiting on. Now go kill him. Because quite frankly, these 600 guys with David were probably tired of sleeping on the dirt too. Because they realized David was going to be the next king, and they wanted to just go ahead and go up to the throne and sit with him. So they said, all right, David, this is it. You go kill him, we'll go sit on the throne together. And nobody will know it. And David almost did it at first. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to see what man told David to do in verse number 4. Man told David, they basically looked at him and said, listen, Saul's been doing you wrong for these 3 to 4 years. It's time for you to get some payback. Because he's got his back turned to you, and it's time for you to go get rid of him. And you become the king. And I want you to realize that when somebody does you wrong, man is always going to have an opinion of what you should do in reaction. The world says when somebody does you wrong, you have a right to get payback. That's what the world will tell you to do. Say, somebody talked about you? Well, come on. Let's go talk about them a little bit. Somebody did something wrong to you? Well, just hold on. We'll get them back. But as you read your Bible, you'll find that God never gave you permission to do evil back to somebody. The Bible says, beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In other words, you don't have to get vengeance, I will. But man will always add their opinion that it doesn't make sense when somebody does you wrong to just sit back and not do anything about it. Now, we must be aware, I'm not going to, even though I got on a suit and a tie this morning, I don't have to act so sanctified. Because our first reaction when somebody does us wrong, you know what it is? To get angry and to get back at them. And I'll say amen for all of you. Because that's who we are. I'll give you a good example. Now, listen, don't raise your hand. Don't look at your husband, don't look at your wife, but I'm going to ask you a question that I already know the answer to. Does anybody in here have road rage? I can tell by the laugh that most of you do. All right, so when you're driving along, more than likely 321, 85, 485, and you're driving along and somebody comes across and cuts you off, is your first reaction to go, boy, that was fun? Look at that, I almost fell. Boy, I'm glad they cut me off today. That just makes my day. Does anybody else do that? No. I tell you what most of us do. When somebody cuts us off, we look at them and say, I can't wait to get in front of them because I'm going to go 25 miles an hour and I'm going to slam on my brakes. And then I'm going to get back in front of them and I'm going to cut them off. Amen. Y'all thinking, you've been in my car. I can't speak for everybody else. All I can speak for is me and her. I know what she does when somebody cuts her off. I know what I do. But we've got to be aware that every single one of us, when somebody does us wrong, our first reaction is going to be get mad and get back at them. That's just who every single one of us are. We all have a sin nature. And when somebody says something to us, our first reaction is, well, I'm going to say something to you then. Somebody does something to us, we'll say, just wait. I'll get you back. But we must realize that that's our plan, not God's. That's our plan, not God's. So number one, I want you to see what man is going to tell you when somebody does you wrong. Man will say, get back at him. But secondly, I want you to look at what God's going to say about it. What God will say. See, verse 4, David kind of listened to the boys a little bit. They said, this is it. Go kill him. Rise up against him. And the Bible says David rose up. And he's walking over to Saul here, and he's got his robe down. And the Bible says that David reaches down and just cuts off the robe a little bit. And he starts to step back. Look at what verse 5 says. Afterwards, when he did it, David's heart what? Smote him. It troubled him. In other words, David's heart convicted him right there when he started walking back. That's just a kind way of the Bible saying the Holy Spirit came upon him and smacked him right in the head and said, David, that's wrong. Some of y'all laughing because I just smacked myself. Has that not ever happened to anybody else in here? If we're all born again Christians, that means the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And when we're about to do something wrong, there's something on the inside of your heart that says, hey, this is wrong. Now, he's not going to walk up right beside you and shout in your ear and say, hey, that's dumb. But there's going to be something on the inside of your heart that says this is wrong. See, in chapter number 16, David had just been anointed the king of Israel. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So David's here, and he's about to do something that's against God's Word. See, even back in David's time, they only had about 5 books of the Bible. But even in Deuteronomy, it said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So in other words, David was about to get vengeance for himself, and he was about to do something that was contrary to God's Word. So when he did it, the Holy Spirit came unto him and said, hey, this is wrong. And if we'll listen close enough, we'll be able to hear the exact same thing in our life. If we're saved and we have the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to hear the exact same thing. And it's sort of like a staticky feeling. That's how I would describe it. When you're about to do something, it just don't feel right. Because when you're about to do something right, the Holy Spirit gives you peace about it. When you're about to do something wrong, He'll do the exact same thing He just did to David. Smote his heart and say, this is wrong. And if we'll just stop for 2 seconds, we'd keep ourselves out of a whole lot of trouble in our life. When we're about to do something, if we'll just step back for 2 seconds and say, God, what do I do? He'll tell you just like that. Every single time, the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what to do. And we'd keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. Before we said something, if we just step back for 2 seconds and say, am I supposed to say that? And you'll feel that staticky feeling. And then you just... See, that's what God says when it comes to when somebody does you wrong. But what does God's Word say about it? That's just one verse right here in this story. I'll give you 4 verses of what we should do when somebody does us wrong according to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, we went over it on Wednesday. It said, see that none render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and unto all men. See, in Thessalonica, these Christians were being persecuted every day, and these people were doing evil to them constantly. And Paul writes to them and says, I realize that people are going to do you wrong. I realize that people are going to do you evil, but you do good back. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. In other words, those people that don't love you, you love them. Those people that hate you and do wrong to you, Jesus said, you do good to them. Now listen, it's the easiest thing in the world for me to stand up here and preach. It's easy. When I go to eat at lunch, and I'm standing in line and somebody cuts in line, my first reaction is to knee them right there and say, get in the back. It's easy for me to stand up here and preach all this. It's hard to live it. But this is what Jesus said. That those people that don't do good to you, that still don't give us a right to not do good to them. Jesus said you do good to them. Proverbs 20:22, in quotes it says, say not thou, I will repay evil, but wait on the Lord and He shall save thee. So in other words, don't say to yourself, I'm going to repay. In other words, just wait on the Lord and He'll do it for you. And then Proverbs 17:13 says, whosoever rewards evil for good, evil will never depart from his house. And that's exactly what happened to Saul. David constantly did him good, and Saul constantly did him evil. And if you read through the rest of the book of 1 Samuel, you'll see that Saul and his family got killed. Because the Bible is true every single time. If you repay evil for good, evil will never leave your house. In other words, trust God and do the right thing no matter what anybody else does to us. And God will take care of it. That's what man says when somebody does you wrong. Go get back at them. But God says, do good to them. Now let me give you some application with this and we'll be done. Now I want you to realize, as we talked about earlier, that the natural reaction when somebody does you wrong is to do wrong back. You know what that means? The natural reaction is not to do good. If the natural reaction is to do wrong in return, that means your natural reaction is not to do good in return. You say, so how am I supposed to do good to people who do me wrong? How am I supposed to not talk about people who talk about me? How am I supposed to do that? The same way that David did. And you know what David did? He listened to the inner voice of God on the inside of him. Because when he was about to do it, he came up and said, this is wrong. And he stepped back and said, I'm not going to do it. And that's the same way we do it. We step back and ask the Holy Spirit to guide our next step. Some of you say, I asked the Holy Spirit to do that, and He told me to get back at Him. That probably wasn't Him. Because the Holy Spirit, He's never going to tell you something that contradicts Scripture. If you hear a voice that's telling you to do something that's opposite from this Word, it's your voice. And I said it earlier, we keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. And most of the time it's with words. So once those are out, can't grab them and take them back. And we do ourselves a lot of help if we just step back and say, am I supposed to say that? And if the Holy Spirit says no, we don't. That's how we do good to somebody who's done us wrong. Firstly, something that everybody struggles with is you got to forgive them for what they did. You got to forgive them for what they did. You got to forgive them for what they said. Because you not forgiving them is not hurting them, it's hurting you. If you don't forgive somebody, they don't care. You say, I'm just not going to forgive them. That'll make them even madder. That don't matter to them. The only person that's hurting is you. So how do I do good to somebody who's done me wrong? First of all, you got to forgive them. Secondly, you've got to let the Holy Spirit guide your steps. But why? When somebody's done us wrong, why don't we just do them wrong back? Why do we do good to somebody who's done us wrong? Because when you do good, you know who you're acting like? Our Savior. When you do good to somebody who's done you wrong, you're acting like Jesus. And that's God's ultimate purpose for our life, is to constantly conform us more into the image of Jesus Christ. Every hour, every minute, every second of every day, that's what God is working to do, to make us more like Jesus. And that's the reason when somebody does us wrong, we just do good back. Because it makes us more like Him. Now, some people have a lot of views. That's why we did the series the last few weeks. There's a lot of views of Jesus going around. And one view I heard, the most idiotic thing I've ever heard, that during Jesus' 30 years of His life, He never smiled or never laughed. And I just sat there and scratched my head. And I got to thinking, how in the world do you think Jesus could walk into Lazarus' tomb and say, get up, and not smile when He walked out? But the other view is that Jesus never got mad either. That Jesus was just a la la la. But that ain't true neither. How in the world can you walk in the temple in John chapter 2 with a whip and get the people out of there and be like, y'all get out of here? That ain't gonna happen. He was mad. They were selling money in his house. But it was a righteous anger. He was mad at sin. But the reason we do good to people who don't do good to us is because when we do it, we act like Jesus. We're showing that we know Him. Because the world, they get payback on everybody. The Bible says we're to be different. You say, well, that's not being a man. Jesus is the greatest man to ever live. He was the epitome of a man. And when you do good to people who do wrong to you, that's the biggest man you can get to. Being more like Him. But the main reason we as Christians do good to those who've done us wrong is simply because God has done good to us when we have done Him wrong. Aren't you glad that when we mess up and we do God wrong, He don't do bad to us back? And if God, the Bible says, is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, and gracious, then we should be too. And I guess I'll go ahead and bring it home. Because it's easy. We're sitting in here and saying, nah, I'm good at that. I ain't got no problem with that. Just wait till next Sunday. Something will come up. And it's not just when people in this world do us wrong. It's when you go home. And your husband or your wife or your family or your friends, they do something wrong to you. They say something wrong to you. That still doesn't give us the right to say something wrong back to them. And that's why all these families are being split up today. Because everybody just wants to get payback. The Lord is merciful. He's slow to anger. And He's gracious. Jesus said this. He said, do good to them that hate you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. All these people that are out here blaspheming the name of God right now on this very hour, probably in this town, God made the sun to rise on their house too. And God made the rain to fall on their house too. God still does good to those people who don't do good to Him. Now, most of y'all know that I worked at the Y for, I think it was right at 4 years. Yeah, my 4 years of college back home. And one of the greatest things that I can remember, and it relates to this, and I'm going to tell it and I'll be done, is we have a trainer that's there. Y'all see him? About 6'2", 250, bodybuilder. One of the biggest dudes I've ever seen in my life. But yet, one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. So, what I would do is I would take some of the new members that came in and I would take them through and show them how to do the machines. And Ben was his name, the big bodybuilder. He would train people. So on this day, I was over here on the machines showing these new members what to do. And Ben was over there kind of on the other side of the rack. And he was training these two women. Well, this man walks in, and he walks over to Ben and says, are y'all using this machine? And Ben says, yeah, but you can use it when we're done. We've only got one more set. And he says, okay. Well, the man walks to the other machine that's right beside him. He says, are y'all using this one too? And he says, yeah, well, I've got two ladies that I'm training. We're using this one too. And this man, which is about yay tall and about that big, looks at Ben and cusses him out right there. And I was standing on the other side and I heard the whole thing and I thought, my Lord, we're going to have a death in here today. Because in 2 seconds, it would have been over. And you know what happened? Ben looked him straight in the face, looking down at him like this, and said, God bless you, sir. And he took his two women and walked away. He said, you can have them. He had no idea that I saw it. I walked in his office about 2 hours later. I said, Ben, I know you didn't know that I saw what happened, but I just want to tell you that I saw it, and I want to say good job. He says, you know, Justin, he says, about 5 years ago, said, I whooped him. He said, but God's helped me mature in my faith. You know what he said? He said, I don't worry about what people say to me. He says, I just do what's right and let everybody else worry about themselves. And he said, just because he said that to me, it didn't give me a right to say anything mean back to him. And you know what probably happened that night? That man probably went home and thought about it all night. Because when somebody does bad to you, they're expecting you to do bad back. And when you look at them and say, God bless you, and walk away, the Bible says that'll heap fire of coals on their head. They'll go home and say, how in the world did he do that? He's supposed to say mean stuff back to me. And you know what will happen? If that person's not a Christian, it'll show them exactly what Jesus looks like. Musicians, you can come forth. That's easy. I told you to stand up here and preach. But more than likely, you go to the restaurant today, especially since we preach that, something's going to happen. And God's going to give you the opportunity to either do good or do wrong back. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, God, and what it means to us. And I just pray, Lord, that we'll be able to take it with us, Lord, and just spread it outside of these four walls. And I pray, Lord, that we'll just be able in this life that you've given us to live, Lord, not only to praise you with every breath that we have, but God, the Bible says to be light and salt to this world. God, I pray that we'll shine a light on this world to show them who Jesus is and how he would act if he was here. And Father, I realize that none of this is easy, but you've given us your Holy Spirit to be able to work through us, show us what it means to live a godly, obedient life to your word. And I pray, God, that you'll forgive us for every time that we've failed you. And Lord, I pray that we'll walk out of this place just wanting to please you in everything that we do, Lord. Let that be our heart's desire. We love you today. We pray, Lord, that if anybody needs to come to the altar and pray, today would be the day. If anybody needs to join the church doors are open. Lord, we love you. We pray you have your will in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would all stand with us this morning.